Welcome to the XCast X-Files Podwatch, Episode 5, covering the episodes Ice and Space. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and I'm pleased today to be joined by esteemed writer Keith R.A. DeCandido. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Carl.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. Now, obviously, you've been on the XCast before, but it was a while ago, and we've picked up quite a few new listeners since then. So you contributed to the Trust No One anthology book that IDW published.
Correct.
And your story was called Back in El Paso, My Life Will Be Worthless.
Yes, which is one of the longest titles of any of my short stories.
Would you just like to briefly maybe pitch that story to people who are listening today but who haven't read the book?
Basically, it's about a serial killer case in El Paso, Texas, and it's Skulder and Molly working with another FBI agent, and the other FBI agent was just your normal, everyday federal agent. He's our point of view character, and the object of the story was to do an X-Files tale from the point of view of somebody who isn't drenched in the X-Files the way Mulder and Scully are. Mm. Somebody who's and sort of show how the rest of the agency views the two weirdos in the basement. And so that was part of the point of the exercise there, was to just sort of show how the rest of the FBI deals with these two. The only other agents we ever really saw was Skinner, really. He wasn't an agent, he was their supervisor, and that was it. We didn't really get much of a feel for how the rest of the FBI responded to these guys. So that's what I was going for there.
Yeah, and in my view, you succeeded, and it's got it's a quintessential X-Files tale in the sense that it's got I won't spoil anything, but it's somewhat open-ended as the story ends.
It's somewhat supernatural-ish serial killer, yeah.
Yeah, that's Back in El Paso, My Life Will Be Worthless. It's in the Trust No One anthology book, and it's well worth checking out, listeners, if you haven't already. Let's turn our attention to these episodes then. So we're in November 1993 for both of these episodes. Ice is the 8th episode of the first season. It was written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong, and directed by the great David Nutter. And of course, this is the episode that's predominantly set in the Arctic, where Mulder and Scully and a small team encounter these, I don't know what you call them, space worms in the Arctic base. And it's all about trust and paranoia. And I don't know about you, Keith, but in my view, it's a fantastic episode from start to finish.
Oh, I agree. It's got a good pedigree to start with, as you mentioned. Morgan and Wong, who were arguably the best writers the show had, and directed by Nutter as well. And it's a very obvious riff on The Thing from Another World.
Yeah.
But it's a very good riff on it. And it's does a wonderful job of creating tension. The supporting characters are all remarkably well drawn. Everybody has a distinctive personality, which helps make it, mean more. It's very easy to have, the guest characters just be generic people. But right away, you know who each of these, especially the two male characters that are played by Xander Berkeley and I forget the actor's name who played Murphy, but Stephen Heitner.
Yeah.
The two of them in particular, in the case of Hodge, Berkeley's character, he's paranoid about everything, and suspicious of everything and wants to check everybody's ID right away. And then in Murphy, you've got his obsession with San Diego Chargers football, which is, at least partly a product of the fact that Morgan and Wong are from San Diego.
Yeah.
But it also, it's a nice character touch that he walks around with tape recordings of his favorite football games. And it helps make it mean more when bad things start happening to them. I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't do the same thing with Felicity Huffman's character.
Mm.
But at the very least, she had her own distinctive personality as well. And that helped ratchet up the tension. These are people we actually got to know and, if not necessarily like, at least understand. Hodge isn't supposed to be likable at all. But he's a real person. And that combined with... And then there was Jeff Kober's Bear, who's just, a jerk.
Yeah.
But, he's another one who you right away know exactly what you're getting when Hodge asks for his credentials and his comment and his response is, "My credentials are, I'm the only one willing to fly you, so if you don't like those credentials, walk." And right away you know what you're dealing with there. It's great. And then that combined with the incredibly tense atmosphere and the isolation, it's just these five people and a dog.
Mm.
literally trapped because of the weather.
Yeah.
And you don't know, you know, what killed. And even when they do find out what it is that killed all the previous members of the expedition, there's the question of who's infected, of how it affects them, who can be trusted, and all the rest of it, like you said. It's just a really strong horror piece, basically, and still manages to work nicely as an X-File because it, you know, involves a strange alien thing and so on.
I agree with every word you've said. Not only that, but also before the episode really kicks in, the teaser sequence where we've got these two guys, you know, they sort of brawl, and then there's that moment where they exchange a look and they both realize what they've got to do. It just really sets the mood, doesn't it, before we get into the episode itself.
Yeah, and then they kill each other. Yeah. Mm. It's the X-Files teasers were always, you know, especially once they've pretty much settled into the pattern of, you know, the teaser is going to set you up for the episode, and it's pretty guaranteed that at least one of the people you're looking at isn't going to survive. And this was a particularly good example of it.
Absolutely. Also, I mean, it's still quite early in the series, and the relationship between Mulder and Scully is evolving, you know, episode by episode. And this seems to me like quite a pivotal episode in terms of that development. It's the first real bottle episode where they're, you know, they're sort of sequestered in this base. Mm-hmm. And there's that terrific scene where they pull their guns on each other.
Yes.
Both the actors are just fantastic in that scene and in the episode as a whole.
Yeah, and also before that, the argument they were having over how to proceed.
Mm.
It's funny. It's a very Star Trek-y argument in a lot of ways. You know, the whether we should try to preserve the worm to, admittedly, just to study it more than anything, but whether or to destroy it for everybody's safety. And it's not, I mean, there's good, what I like about that argument, we don't hear every word of it.
Yeah.
But the basics of it are legitimate. You know, both, there were times when the Mulder-Scully arguments felt like they were arguing because that's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This actually worked as an argument because both sides had a legitimate point, you know, and both of them were thinking in terms of safety. Scully's was a little more short-term in terms of, you know, we can't let this get out and harm anybody right now, whereas Mulder was thinking long-term in case they find more of them. And that made it much more convincing. It was than some of the other times when Scully was just arguing because, well, she's the skeptic and she's supposed to argue. You know, this was a legitimate beef between two professionals over how to proceed.
Absolutely, and Morgan and Wong are particularly good, I think, at giving Scully some good material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't think the X-Files ever topped this as a bottle episode, really. I think they did a few variations on it.
Yeah, they were never quite able to. And that's a common thing you'll see in television. It's like they do a particularly good episode, and everybody responds to it. And everybody did respond to Ice. Ice, I think, was in many ways the episode that really cemented the X-Files as a show that was, you know, people wanted to watch, and is often cited as one of the high points of the first season with good reason. And yeah, that, I mean, it's always a risk when you do that. It's like, okay, we got to do that again because everybody responded to it. You can never recreate it to the same degree ever.
Yeah, I think Glenn Morgan, I've seen talk about this one as being the moment where the X-Files sort of clicked into place.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there had been some good episodes before this.
Oh, absolutely.
But I can see what he means, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, as a piece of horror, it is effective, isn't it? It is scary.
It is
tense. David Nutter really makes the most of that location they used.
Well, do you know what that location was? I don't remember, 20 years, but 25 years now. Do you know where they filmed that?
No, I don't actually know.
I mean, obviously they didn't go to the Arctic. It's not like they had the budget for that. But, you know, it's watching the X-Files then is like watching Supernatural now. It's like they travel all over the country, but everywhere they go looks just like Vancouver.
Yeah,
I mean, I assume they found, you know, some sort of shack or something out in the outskirts of British Columbia somewhere where they could superimpose snow over it.
Just the last thing to mention about this one, I think, as always with Morgan and Wong, you could have the most serious of storylines, but they always find a way to supplement it with black humor. And, you know, there's some great one-liners in this episode. There's, you know, Mulder stripping down and saying, "Remember, gentlemen, we're in the Arctic, you know, don't judge me." And I think it really adds to their episodes that amongst all the seriousness, there's time for some levity.
Plus, there's a cute dog.
There is, and that's, I believe that was David Duchovny's dog at the time, you know?
Never kill the dog. I feel sorry for poor Murphy, but...
Well, from the sublime to space. Let's turn our thoughts to episode 9 of season 1, Space.
I've been doing, for Tor.com, I've been doing rewatches of various Star Trek TV shows. I started out in 2011 doing Star Trek The Next Generation, and since then I've moved on to Deep Space Nine and the original series. When I first was doing Next Gen, I got to the episode, a first season episode called Haven, yeah. And I get to it, and I had totally forgotten that Robert Knepper played Troy's fiance in the episode. Okay. After that point, and I commented on that when I did the rewatch. I totally forgot that was Robert Knepper. And from that moment on, it became a regular thing in all three rewatches. Whenever I came across somebody who I had totally forgotten, somebody who, you know, I knew, but I had forgotten was in that particular episode, I referred to it as a Robert Knepper yeah. moment. Both these episodes had Robert Knepper moments for me watching it again. I had totally forgotten that the toxicologist in ICE was played by Felicity mm-hmm. Huffman. Xander Berkeley, I had already known. I already knew of him when I first saw the episode back in 93, but I didn't know Felicity Huffman from A Hole in the Wall. That was before I really discovered her, so to speak, on Sports Night, and I had forgotten she had been on that episode. Again, Space had the same thing, except it was with Susanna Thompson, who I had also totally forgotten was in an X-Files episode. I remembered Ed Lauder yeah. for some reason, you know, perfectly ordinary character actor who's, you know, shown up pretty much mm-hmm. everywhere at some point or other. I had remembered that he had been in an X-Files episode. I'd totally forgotten that Susanna Thompson was. And so that was fun. And I did like the fact that it established that Mulder was an astronaut nerd as a kid, because of course he was. Yeah, okay, I just ran out of good things to say about that. So.
Well,
we should probably sum it up.
Space is written by Chris Carter, directed by William Graham, and it's many fans' choice for the worst episode of The X-Files from the entire run of the series.
Oh, really?
Well, I think if you look at a lot of the worst episode ever lists, Space is a prominent feature on those lists. This is the one with the infamous, the face on Mars, the space ghost, and it's all about the sabotaged space shuttle launches. Yeah, I've got the same note. Boyish Mulder is quite endearing, actually, I think. It's quite, it's not done particularly subtly, is it?
No.
It's quite hard to believe, for example, when Marcus Aurelius Belt, which is probably the best Chris Carter character name ever, when he lies to the press and Mulder's crestfallen, it's a bit overdone. But I think there is something to like about that aspect of Mulder.
Yeah, no, I like, the only thing really I like about the episode is you know, the fact that Mulder, you know, gets to nerd out over being at mission control. You know, it's funny, people put it on the worst... I wouldn't put it on the worst episode list because I don't think it deserves that much credit. You know, I mean, there are some really bad episodes of The X-Files. But this one isn't even... I mean, it isn't even entertainingly bad or it doesn't stand out as being bad either. It's just, eh. It's... You know, I mean, watching this back-to-back with ICE was especially hilarious because I remember ICE almost word for word from when I first saw it 25 years ago. And I just, right now, I'm struggling to remember details of Space, and I only just watched it yesterday. it was a remarkably uninteresting episode, partly because the monster itself just isn't that interesting. You know, gray, glowy thing from Mars, maybe. You know, it's very vague and undefined. You know, I mean, in ICE, we know exactly what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a worm that makes people go crazy. The monster is very tangible, and we know what it is. Here it's just, it's not clear what the monster's purpose is, why it makes Colonel Belt do what he does. And plus all the danger really happens of necessity off camera. I mean, and it's hard to get a feel for what's at stake because it's just voices over a comm line and that's it. We're not, you know, and lots of stock footage of space shuttles. It just doesn't create enough suspense. You know, we know it's Susanna Thompson's fiance up there, which is a desperate attempt to get some personal stakes out of this, but it doesn't work. You know, if it was somebody we knew or somebody who was close to Mulder and Scully, maybe then you could make it work, but it just doesn't, there's nothing there.
Yeah, I agree. It's actually, in some ways, it's fairly ambitious setting this story at NASA. But like you say, it means that they have to, at this stage of the series, they have to rely on a lot of stock footage. The special effects that are here aren't brilliant. So it may have been something that if they'd have waited a few years and they had a bit of extra money, it might have been a little bit better. I don't know. I think it was misconceived from the get-go, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the basic idea of them dealing with a problem with the space shuttle and of Mulder getting to... Because it makes sense that somebody who's as obsessed with alien life as him would be, you know, somebody who would fall all over himself to Van Goober over an astronaut. But the execution just didn't work.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I quite like Ed Lauter as Marcus Belt. I think he's quite a good actor. He's been in lots of other stuff. And it's a shame that he deserved a better X-Files episode than this, to be honest.
Yeah, so did Susanna Thompson. She's an excellent actor. And yeah, they're both pretty much wasted here. I'm also amused. Every time I watch it, I think, okay, they cast Ed Lauter in this role because he's bald, and this way they could put a hairpiece on him for the 1977 flashback. And then just take it off, and look, he's aged! Yeah.
And it's a very, very early example of how on the X-Files, you know, the fact that you get a fantastic episode 1 week is absolutely no guarantee of what the following week's episode is going to be like. So Ice is brilliant. Then you get this. It's a bit of a hallmark of the first season, actually, that you know, you often get very, very, very contrasting episodes in terms of quality back to back.
Yeah.
I don't know, Keith, have you got anything else you want to add about space before we leave it behind us?
Like I said, I'm struggling to even remember the damn episode. I just watched it yesterday, so no. the one other thing I will mention is just that the whole face on Mars thing really has been completely debunked anyway. It's something that hasn't aged particularly well. It's a problem that the X-Files had occasionally, is that they're trying to at least to some extent be tying into real world events. And sometimes things just sort of pass them by, and that was one of them. Unfortunately, it just that was never really a thing. I mean, about all the face on Mars gave us in pop culture was this and a joke in Watchmen.
All right, thank you, Keith. So, listeners, thanks for. Bearing with us as we discussed Ice and Space. Tomorrow on the XCast X-Files Podwatch, the episodes under discussion are Fallen Angel and Eve. We're on Twitter. We'd like you to come and find us on Twitter if you haven't already. We're at the X_cast. And if you use Facebook, we've got a page on there, and we've got a Facebook group too, which is the X-Files Basement, the XCast Podcast fan group. So it'd be great if you could come and find us over there. Okay, until next time on the XCast, trust no one.